Well, welcome back. Session number 7, can you believe it? We're coming around the corner. The finish line is in sight. So I hope you're as excited as I am about what's coming up here. Today is going to be a great day, a great session. And you know what? I don't even have to ask you this because I know you are so committed to getting the best out of this program. You've already done it. And, you know, it's my job to ask, so I don't want to ask it, but I will. Did you do your homework? Did you do your assignments? Well, of course you did, because if you didn't, you would have already shut me off and gone back and done them. So listen, congratulations for shutting me off now if you didn't do it, and congratulations for having done the exercises already. And let's rock on. I'm so excited about today because we're going to be talking about creating conviction in test closing, the last step in phase 2 in enrollment. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you remember a time when you were, let's say, for lack of a better term, courting somebody or trying to win the affection of somebody else? Did you ever use any test closes when you're going through that process? I know I did. You know, you ask questions to see how you're doing in the relationship. You might ask something like, have you enjoyed our times that we've been spending together? And of course, he or she may say, well, yes. And that kind of gives you an indication that they may enjoy being with you and that you can move further. Well, most of us do that kind of thing. And it tells us how we're doing and if we need to spend more time in that area or any specific area. Well, it's the same in sales. That's what step 7 is going to show you how to do. How to move the conviction level up and then test to see if the person is ready to buy. Now, in this session, Tony is going to cover 10 steps for creating conviction and test closing. Now, listen, while this might seem like a lot to do, I want to let you know right up front that the first 6 steps you already learned in the audio on creating interest, you remember those? The 6 steps to a unit of interest starts by making a claim, you know, using the word because, then a fact, the benefits, and so on. Tony is basically building on these steps and adding test close to it to teach you how to do this. It's really cool. One more thing before we start, though. And that is be sure, as usual, to follow up on the assignments in the session as Tony gives them to you. They're absolutely invaluable, and they'll help you get what you're learning in your body, in your nervous system, and congruently so that it becomes a part of who you are. And you'll do it naturally. You know how that works. So without further ado, session number 7, here's Tony.
So where are we now? We've gone through 6 steps of the selling process, and we really haven't even presented our product yet. Why? Because right now we have 70% of the closing procedure done. 70% of the sales already complete right now. What have we done? 1, we're prepared. We know who we're dealing with before we walk in the door. We know what kinds of things they really need, what some of their psychic wounds may be. We know everything about our product, everything about our competition, and we have a plan that can really make sense. 2, we haven't just gotten prepared, but we've really turned ourselves on so we can deliver that material in a very powerful and effective way. 3, we haven't just sat there and got all excited and pumped up, but we've actually gone out and made contact as well. 4, we didn't just make contact and get their attention, but if we've done our job right, we've made a friend. We have somebody now that really feels connected with us at 100%, where they trust us, and where that first question in their mind, whose best interest does this salesperson have in mind, has already been answered. And they know you're a professional and you know that you really care about them and are not going to try and jam something down their throat that really doesn't benefit them. 5, we've got their interest. We've used some big fat claims and we've backed it up with a couple of benefits and some evidence to get them interested and excited to hear what it is we have to say. And so we engaged them. Then we went to phase 2, and that's where we are now. We're in the process now of enrolling them. And step 6, the last one we covered, if you recall now, is we're in the process of finding out who this person really is. We've qualified them. We've been looking for their urban and their lurban and drab. Urban, emotional reasons for buying right now. What are the states or emotions they want most that we can show them that by buying our product, they can get certain feelings they want, like all advertisers do. And also, if they don't buy our product, what emotions that they're going to probably end up with and they don't want to have, so they want to buy now. We also are talking about lurban, logical reasons to buy now. We've been looking for all of this and studying this person. So we know who the person is, we're connected with them, we have their interest, and now our job is to make a presentation. So we now go to step 7, create conviction and test close. And this is critical. When you go to create a presentation, the only purpose of a presentation should be to create conviction that we can meet somebody's needs. The reason we haven't made a presentation up until this point is until you know who you're dealing with, until they trust you, until you're able to really get their interest so that they'll really listen to you, there's no need to do a presentation. In fact, if you don't have their full interest and know who they are, you're going to make a presentation in the dark. So the whole purpose of step 7 is to create conviction. And the conviction we want to create is we want to get this person to the point where they absolutely feel they're justified in buying. That's really what this is about, giving them enough reasons to justify being able to buy. That's what you want to do. And then we want to test close. And that means find out where are they. Are they getting hotter or colder? Is our presentation working or not working? We don't want to hope it's working. Come back to the last step of the sales process, try and close the sale and have them say, well, I don't have the money, or well, I don't have the time, or I'm not sure it's valuable. We want to know that up front. So create conviction and test close. Now, how do we create conviction? Well, we're going to do it 3 ways. Number one way to create conviction is, most people use this, to try and give people benefits. In fact, most salespeople, I think to be more accurate, try and share with the customer lots of facts. The fact is, our product is the number one product of its kind in the United States. The fact is, we have the finest service in the world. The fact is, but see, people don't buy facts. People buy benefits. So the 3 ways that we are going to assist you in being a little bit better in creating more conviction in people is, number one, we're going to work on our own personal congruency. Congruency means that when you say something, your voice, your body, and your mind all are basically saying the same thing. That what you're saying on the outside is matching what you're saying and feeling on the inside. Incongruent is when people say things like, you know, I want to be a multimillionaire and I want to sleep till noon. That's called incongruent, right? Incongruent is when somebody says, I totally love you, and the next thing you know, they're dating somebody else. That's called incongruent. The bottom line is, what we want to do is make sure everything matches, so that when you communicate and you say, this is how it is, your voice, your body, your mind, everything is giving one singular message. So how do you get to that place of congruency? Well, we've already talked about this, so I'm only reminding you. Every single time you go to meet with a customer, before you get there, you must condition yourself to have the deepest level of conviction about your own product. You must absolutely feel in your gut that you are being a giver and not a taker. And I've said this several times, and you hear me say it several more times in these final 3 or 4 steps. But you must believe when you walk in there that what you have to offer is 10 times more valuable than what you're asking back. And when I say you must believe that, I do not mean logically. You must remember that people buy for emotional reasons and they justify with logic. You and I do it as well. But emotions are what drive us, and selling is the transference of emotion. And for somebody to buy, they have got to have conviction. They got to feel certain that what they're doing is going to give them what they want. And you cannot give to someone that which you do not have. You cannot influence someone else unless you've been influenced. And again, I mean at an emotional level. And this is a challenge that most salespeople have, and they lose their power. When they're brand new, they go out there with all this enthusiasm. They believe 100%. They got all this conviction, and they go out and make all these sales. But then they have some problems in their personal life, or then they have some challenges because the product doesn't get delivered on time, or then they notice that the product isn't perfect, and they start losing their conviction. Or they just talk about it so much, they get bored. They run into this thing we call the law of familiarity. The law of familiarity says that if you do anything enough, if you're around anything enough, you begin to take it just a little bit for granted. And it happens in almost every area of our life. And the same thing happens with your conviction about your product. So every single day, before I get up to talk about something I believe in, what I work hard at is really getting myself to the place of absolutely feeling the value before I speak about it. Otherwise, you're not going to feel it. It'll just be words that go in your head and go out again. So creating conviction starts with having that conviction with you before you go see the customer. How do you do that? A couple ways. First way I'd say it would be the process of, well, I'll tell you what I did. When I went to work for a man years ago, a personal development speaker by the name of Jim Rohn, he talked about goals and attitude and time management and some real basic principles, and I really believed 100% what this man's message was. I thought it was incredibly valuable. So I went to work for him. Not to make money. I mean, I wanted to make money, but that wasn't my primary thing. I wanted to, like, change the world by getting people to be exposed to this man. Because of that, I created so much conviction in myself that every single human being that I sat down with who'd been exposed to his program, we used to put people in an evening seminar, and then we'd sit down with them one-on-one for an hour in a coffee shop, convince them to meet with us, and give a presentation on why they should buy about $1,200 worth of programs. And the challenge was at the time that Number one, I hadn't been to some of these programs. And number two, I really wanted people to get this value. So what I would do literally on the way to meeting this person, let's say I'm going to meet them and it's 30 minutes away, I was driving my old VW Baja Bug Volkswagen, and I was going to tell this person how they could become more successful in their life and have all of their dreams come true. I just started with this man, and yet I was still able to convince every human that I met, every single one bar none, broke every record they ever dreamed of. In fact, I ran out of leads, and I told other salespeople, I said, give me your leads. I'll give you all the money. I just want to get these people to go to this event. And I had so much and they were thrilled. They said, yeah, you've sold everyone. Sit down, take all my leads, you know. So I sat down, and I would convince people. But on the way over there, I would just drive myself into a frenzy of conviction. I would think about all the benefits that people could get from their lives, anything I knew about this person. And I would do incantations, quite honestly, with such intensity that by the time I got to see this person, I was in a deep trance of conviction. I would say, I now command my subconscious mind to direct me in helping this person to better their life by giving me the strength, the emotion, the persuasion, the humor, the brevity, whatever it takes to show this person and get this person to invest in this product. And I would say that over and over again for 30 minutes, screaming it at the top of my lungs while I'm driving my little VW Bug through the freeway to get there. By the time I walked in the door, it was like the guy had no chance. I mean, I was absolutely certain. And if he told me no, there was no possibility he could tell me no because I had more conviction than he did. I want you to remember this. When two people meet and they discuss anything, the person who is most congruent, the person who has the largest amount of conviction about what they're saying, will end up influencing the other person in the long term. I remember one time I was on a radio show and somebody called up and questioned my credentials when I was involved with the NLP community. And you know, I knew what they were, and I told them what they were, and the next person called up and said, those aren't your credentials, and I talked to this person today, and they said, those are not your credentials, and he's the person who gives them out, and they went on and on and on and on, and I was certain that they were, you know, crazy, and I thought they might have a little secondary gain, because I was in their part, their community selling my seminars, and they weren't too happy about that. But you know what happened? This person was so certain about this that at one point I said, great, let's call that person right now on the air live, and let's find out if I'm credentialed or not. I thought, that'll handle that. And the person said, let's, because I talked to him today. Let's call them right now. And my brain went, wait a second. And I knew reality, but for a moment, I started believing them, going, well, gosh, you know, are those people upset with me? And they've taken away my credentials, and I don't know it. I began to have doubt because they were more convinced. They had so much intensity, so much conviction, that I began to actually doubt my own knowledge, my own beliefs. So I want you to know that your level of conviction is the single most powerful thing that you can transfer to that person. You have to make them feel certain, absolutely certain, that if they invest in your product, they're going to get what they want most, and it'll be worth it. And if you can transfer that and give them enough reasons to justify buying, they will, as long as you give them conviction to buy for their reasons and not yours. Remember, people don't buy for your reasons. They buy for theirs. And the reason we've taken so much time up until now to really get to know this person, connect with them, have rapport with them, what are their buying patterns, the reason we've taken a lot of time is we now know who this person is. So what do we do now? All we do is give it to them, but we must give them the experience that they're going to get what they want out of our product and service, and we've got to give them that with congruency and conviction. So that's number one way to create conviction and push somebody over the edge, is to really get that conviction within yourself. And I'm here to tell you that you could throw everything else away, but that one belief, and you would find a way to be able to close the sale. And people will feel it if you're sincere and if you relate it to their needs. Here's the second way that you can create conviction in a very powerful way that's a lot of fun. You remember that I said to you that selling is really the process of getting people to make decisions. And the way that people make decisions, of course, is most decisions are a weighing process. What's happened, we said before, is we have this person and they're trying to figure out what to do. And they got this fulcrum. And on this fulcrum, they have this boulder over here we call drab, if you recall. Drab means dominant reasons for avoiding buying. Another word for that might be fears. Because their fears are the things that pull people down. Their fear about, you know, will it really work? Will they really get what they want out of it? Will it be worth the time and effort and energy and the things they've given up to have it, the inconvenience? What will other people say? These are all dominant reasons that people use to avoid buying. And it's always fear. And it's always fear of what? Pain. Remember, we told you that everything people do, they do either to gain pleasure or to avoid pain. So how do we balance this thing out? How do we make sure that their dominant reasons to avoid buying don't become the dominant force that grounds them and causes them not to buy? How do we ground them in the process of actually buying and catapult out these reasons for not buying? And the answer is, what we need to do is get plenty of boulders with conviction. In other words, feelings on this side of the scale that there are plenty of reasons to buy now. We call them urbans and also lurbans. Funny word, but again, urban means emotional reasons to buy now. Now, if a person's highest value in life, let's say, is freedom, what would you say their largest urban would be that you'd want to try and relate your product to? That if they got your product, they'd have more what? Freedom, clearly. If their number one value in life is security, then that's going to be the biggest set of urbans you're going to give. You're going to show them how right now they'll get more security, more freedom, more whatever by making this purchase. And if they don't, they're going to lose some or miss out on some. Remember, we want to use the carrot and the stick. We don't want to just create fear in people. And we want to be elegant. You must get them to feel convinced or certain that buying will mean a lot more pleasure and very little or no pain. And that not buying could mean a lot of pain and little or no pleasure. Does that make sense so far? So that's the process. So how do we do that? Well, we do it with something we call units of conviction. Now, you remember we created what we called units of interest when we were talking about grabbing people's attention or grabbing their interest, rather? Well, this is very similar. We're just going to add a couple distinctions to it, and it's a way to really make the process work. So in the process of creating conviction and test closing, here are the steps. Step one is people have got fears. They've got what we call a little drab here. Dominant reasons to avoid buying, some of the fears, some of the things they've heard, and so forth. And if that's heavy enough, you can see there's a little scale here that measures whether they're going to buy or not. If that's heavy enough, this is going to go down. And they're going to get cool, cold, or freezing where there's no way in heck that they're going to buy. On the other hand, though, if we can get enough conviction, enough emotion, enough reasons to buy now on this side, then what's going to happen is the lever's going to come up and they're going to go from warm to hot to boiling to where they're absolutely ready to buy. In fact, they'll take it from you if you don't give it to them. And we've all been fortunate enough to have people like that. And it's because they were convinced. They had enough conviction that they were going to get so much more benefit than pain that they went for it. Now remember, they buy for emotional reasons and logical, and we've got to give them both. What is the dominant buying mode for most people? Emotions. I will tell you this, though. Most people do not want to feel like they're buying for emotional or sentimental reasons, because that's not being intelligent for a lot of people. Instead, they want to believe they're doing it for logical reasons. So that's why you have to give them enough units of conviction to help them justify the purchase as well. Now we're going to show you how to do that. So what does a unit of conviction look like? Well, a unit of conviction is simply very similar to what we did when we created somebody's interest. We had that little bag, if you recall. And in that bag, we had what we called a big fat claim. What you do is you make a statement, a big fat claim. And in this claim, immediately, you say to these people that you're going to be able to give them something that they really want. And let's say, for example, you're selling a computer system. You make a big fat claim. Our computer system can save your accounting department about 30% efficiency immediately. Now, that's a pretty big fat claim. What's it designed to do? It's designed to open the buyer's mind to a new possibility, designed to grab their attention and open their mind, get some of their interest. So that's the first step. Now, this whole process I'm going to show you is called a unit of conviction. What is it? It's a big fat claim, in other words, a fact or a feature. So you state a fact or a feature. Now, the way you would do this, for example, let me back up a second so I'm a little more clear.